Moncrief on News Talk.
Last weekend, a memorial was unveiled to 14 girls orphaned by the famine. They were shipped to Australia as part of the notorious Earl Grey scheme, basically because Australia had a shortage of women. We're joined by the historian Michelle O'Mahony. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon. How are you all? Greetings from West Cork.
So when these particular 14 girls and other young girls who were part of this scheme, what were they told was going to happen to them when they got to Australia?
Well, I suppose when they were selected when they were in the workhouse, and obviously there was a few fitness tests to make sure that we had girls of moral virtue and that they were fit and healthy, the healthiest that they could be leaving the workhouse. They were told they were going, offering them a better life. And in some instances where they would have had a sibling or another a sister there in the workhouse, they tried to, I suppose, immigrate two sisters together so that they would have somebody to rely on and depend on as they set foot in the new world.
And typically what would happen to them when they did arrive in the new world?
So when they did arrive in the new world, it was a voyage of over 3 months by sea. They arrived and they were put into, I suppose really it's like the equivalent of an Ellis Island, for want of a better word, that people would be familiar with. And there they were processed. And some of them were went into domestic service. So agents would come on behalf of the rich people in Australia who wanted domestic servants. Some of them were indentured, which meant they got their freedom after a number of years, typically 5 to 7 years or thereabouts. Others were taken to the gold rush was on in Australia at the time. So again, a largely male-orientated industry. They were brought there as maids, cooks, cleaners to work for the men coming up from the mines. So it was incredible hardship that they faced on one level. As you said in your intro, it was to address the gender imbalance. And also, I suppose the girls thought, you know, it's offering them a better life, something better than continuing to spend a long time in the workhouse. Because children who were 14 years of age, they could look forward to another 4 to 5 years in the workhouse until they reached the age of 18 or 19 and were discharged. The famine was still ongoing in 1850 in Ireland. So I suppose their lifestyle, they knew, you know, it was one or the other. It was stay at home, stay in the workhouse in austere, desperate conditions, or perhaps they were being offered a better future. The debate is out in the initial years whether the girls would have preferred to have stayed at home or actually lived in Australia. But those that did, they were incredibly brave women and they had a terrible start in the new world, really.
Yeah. Now, and what were the attitudes to this group of women when they arrived in Australia?
I suppose similar to what the attitudes would have been in New York when girls arrived or when immigrants came. You know, the Irish, I suppose, that the legacy that permeated their arrival was always going to be, you know, oh, here come the Irish girls. You know, they were always seen as second-class citizens. They were always seen as something different. It's the same attitudes, really, as they would have been treated with here in America. I suppose they weren't exactly welcomed with open arms, let's put it that way.
Okay, so it wasn't, it was a difficult time for many of them.
Incredibly difficult. And I suppose from speaking with their descendants and some of their relatives now, what we find is that those girls, even I know Heather Northwood told me, who was recently here in Dunmanway last weekend, that when her great-great-grandmother arrived, it's only in the last 7 years she realised she had Irish heritage because her mother, who was 105, told her that her great-grandmother had Irish heritage. But the grandmother wasn't even told of the Irish connection. Because there was an element of shame around all of that, you know, that these were the Irish girls and people didn't want to know them. But thank God things have changed. And down in Australia, these girls are honoured every November, I think, in Williamstown in Melbourne. And they're another part of the year they're honoured in Sydney because they arrived in Sydney, they arrived in Melbourne and Adelaide. And there was various ships over a 2 year time period taking orphan girls out to Australia. And as a result, it's estimated now that 1 in 10 people in Australia actually owe their heritage to one of these orphan girls that were immigrated from all the workhouses in Ireland at various times between 1848 and 1850.
Mm. Now, the particular 14 young women that were commemorated, and you alluded to it there, one or some of their descendants have visited Dunmanway.
They have. Some of their descendants have been back over the years. but they've never really made themselves known in the community that they were visiting. But Heather Northwood is the great-great-granddaughter of Ellen Desmond. And Ellen Desmond was sent out in 1850, one of the 14, and she was sent with her sister Mary Desmond. And I think there might have been a relative of Mary's came back at some point in the last 20 or 30 years. But Heather came back, and Heather came a year ago, and I suppose she met with the local historical community, and then she decided she wanted to put up a monument in recognition and remembrance of these girls. And at that point, they asked me to come on board and help get the monument up, and I suppose to project manage this event and get the focus back on it. You know, for something that's honoured in Australia twice a year, I think it's possibly about time that we kind of raise the profile of them over here a little bit as well. And it's a piece of the famine history that's largely unexplored. I know some historical groups throughout the country have been trying to do their bit, but it's never really kind of been recognised on a national level, I suppose, really, until recently.
Yes, indeed. I take it then that Ellen Desmond and the other 13 all travelled together on the Eliza Caroline. Is it known what happened to all of them?
Yes, so I suppose most of our records, as you know, the records here, a lot of them went up in smoke during the revolutionary period. But back in Australia was really setting up the colony at that time. So there was a huge emphasis on the bureaucratic machine was at work there. So we have loads and loads of records. We have loads of passenger manifest lists. So the 14 girls were part of 340 on the Eliza Caroline that docked in Port Phillip, which is Melbourne today, in 1st of April 1850. And a lot of those girls from Dunmanway, we had, I think, it was three groups of two sisters, and then I think there was two or three other girls who travelled on their own. But they all were a tight-knit community, and what we find is years later, when they get married within 5 to 7 years, we find that some of them are each other's bridesmaids, and we have their marriage certs. So there's a lot of information that you can access through the Australian websites, which are really, really comprehensive and really, really good with their database. So there's a lot of, most of the information I would be looking at I'm finding from the Australian sources, and then I'm kind of referring back to some of the minute books from the Dunmanway Workhouse, which are held in Cork Archives here in the city.
Well, before I leave you go, Michelle, let me read you out two texts that came in while we were talking. I'm an Aussie, now living in Ireland. I'm a descendant of Bridget Jane Gaffney, one of the Earl Grey girls. Another person says, I'm an Australian, a direct descendant of a 16-year-old orphan from Kilkenny who went to Australia in 1848 under the Earl Grey scheme. Ellen Murphy was her name. I live here now. Ellen is the matriarch of our family in Australia, the O'Briens, and much looked up to. We created a mural in her honour next to my shop, Little Collins CBD Dispensary in Kilkenny, which is just 800 metres from the McDonough Workhouse, which she left. The remaining 850 young people in that workhouse perished. Ellen started a long, successful genetic line in Australia. Her first marriage ended in death of her husband earlier on. Next marriage was a man from Liscannor in West Clare. And that was the line that we all come from. So they're remembered in Ireland as well. That is quite extraordinary.
They are remembered here, but I think it's time that we get it more of a national level and a more bit of a joined up consensus going, just like there is down in Australia. You know, there's specific days and specific commemorations to all of the girls together where their names are acknowledged and read out. And I think in Ireland, it has been a little bit more piecemeal here and there.
Yes.
And it's only where people have that connection. But it's great to know that, you know, people are listening to this and people are ringing in. So, you know, maybe the debate will continue.
Yeah, indeed. Michelle, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was the historian Michelle O'Mahony.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.